This upcoming podcast is rated M for mature. We use swearsies and talk about adult stuff. All contents herein are for entertainment purposes only, and all stated opinions, views, and jokes are those of the person making them and should not be taken as any sort of gospel. Listener discretion is advised. Everybody, welcome back to the Utah Outcasts, a show where we talk about what we want to for as long as we want to and as long as we feel like it. So we won't be held to your goddamn podcasting standards, damn it. We're not doing this live from the Faithless Forum. Just letting everybody.
We were not invited.
We weren't invited. No, I mean, that's kind of the thing, though, is like the evolution of the show. We'll get to the intro. We'll get back to the intro here in a second. Sorry, guys. This is the boringest part of the show unless we make it interesting. So, yes, we're atheists. That doesn't define who we are.
Yeah, anymore, that is the most uninteresting part of us.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people where that is still first and foremost the thing that they badge onto themselves when they go out to the public. You know, it's like,
sure,
I'm an atheist.
I would admire that more if it was more interested in addressing the other ways that like that intersects with other issues. I would find that more interesting if they were more interested in skepticism in literally any other way.
Mm-hmm. If they were involved in actual skepticism, you know?
Yeah, like there's the show Skeptics with a K.
Yeah, that's a good show.
And I listened to a couple episodes of them, and like, no, they are very interested in skepticism in a lot of ways without like being like
the smarmy dude bro bullshit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like one of the hosts was like, oh, I went to a spa and I was really hungover, and then I did a mud thing and I felt better, but I'm pretty sure it was just that I got to relax and I was warm and there was steam.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that'll make you feel real nice, you know?
Yeah, it has fuck all to do with the actual mud drawing toxins
exactly
from your body.
Like, the mud was incidental. But, like, they're not better than you. Like, they still like, even if it's got woo or whatever attached to it, but, like, they are interested in being skeptical about things like trans issues. And I mean not skeptical of trans people. I mean actually... The evidence is in support of trans people. It just is. And so they're interested in using skepticism towards that, or skepticism towards, institutions of profit or whatever. And like, if more atheists were interested in how religion juxtaposes with other systems of hierarchy, I would be more supportive of that shit, but they're not. So. They're not interested in the intersectionality of these issues. They're just like, no, religion is the core.
Just issue. Religion bad, yo, you know.
It's not. Thanks, though.
I would like people to wake up to more class awareness, but, you know.
I mean, that would be a good thing.
I want more people to be out there and realize I'm not going to be rich, and I should be okay with that.
Yeah, you're... No one is gonna. You're not gonna get there. If you're not already, you're not gonna get there.
If you're middle class, I hate to break it to you, you're poor.
Pretty much.
You have more in common with every poor person.
Or especially how they're using the excuse of inflation everywhere. Inflation everywhere.
Yeah, but not really.
So every company's like, well, if they're gonna say it, we might as well just go ahead and raise our rates.
Oh my God, it's almost like capitalism is a thing. If there's an excuse to raise prices, they'll do it.
They'll do it.
It's almost like when gas prices go up.
And they never come down.
They go up real fast, and they come down real slow, even though supply is still high.
Even though we're not relying on OPEC.
The demand hasn't really changed. Demand doesn't really change resource. And it's...
Hellbound Hillbilly out there in chat says, it's not inflation. You're just an asshole.
I do want to stress that like there has been an inflation problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that definitely...
Well, it's because they saw a fucking rich field where they're like, hey... we're giving the poors too much money. What way can we take that back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
Which is why, unless we decommodify, you know, housing and healthcare and much other stuff, that you're not going to be, UBI is not going to do a goddamn thing, because they'll just find ways of making the costs go up on things magically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is episode number 365. Thank you for that little side chat there. And we're so glad to have you along for the ride. I'm your host, X, and joining me this week, we have Kyle and Felicia. It's the whole crew. We're back. Hey. I was trying to get Brooke to come down, but she was like, I got to go watch the Utah game. And I'm like,
oh,
okay, have fun.
Yeah,
you're not beholden to us. I mean, you already pay us monthly for Patreon.
That's fine.
And I'm saying this only to call her out live. That's only.
That's fine.
No, sorry, I couldn't be there in person this week. It's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine. We're getting into that time of year where everything is going to be real sketchy.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to have to talk after this episode because, like, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be the only parent home for, like, the entire weekend. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to be doing a show that weekend. Well,
next week, I don't know. I haven't decided because
we're gonna have to talk after this, guys.
Yeah, they are. But next week there is a drag show Christmas show, and I think I really want to go, but I haven't talked to anybody else into it yet. But
and on top of that, we have Krimbus coming up on the 24th, which is
also coming. Yeah,
guys, we've hit that magic time where we finally have hit that thing where it's like the night where we record is the actual holiday.
Wow.
We've been doing this for a long time.
It happens.
For a long time.
And also it's going to be that way for New Year's Day, but nobody cares about New Year's Day. I mean, they give it off as a federal holiday, but it's like, why?
No,
that's recovering from fucking hangover day. Yeah, that's all that
hangover,
is.
It's hangover. Yeah, it's hangover day.
It's hangover and beer shits day. That's what one of the first is.
Right.
Let's rename it that way.
Right.
Oh, happy beer shits day to you, Kyle. Right. How are you doing?
Yay. Although we're technically over 40, so it's not really so much hangover day. It's more of a...
Hey, I'm just glad that I'm of a certain age now where I can get prescriptions for things. You know, it's like, oh, hey, I got a headache. It's like, oh, well, let's get you some 800 milligram Motrins. It's like, yay. I'm old.
You know, you can just double the dose of over-the-counter ibuprofen.
I know. You can take 800 milligrams without a prescription.
I like them big-ass horse pills, though.
Oh, see, I'd rather take four small ones.
I mean, the suppository forms are fun.
Fantastic, he
says. Yes, the big pills.
That's a ping pong ball right up my ass.
Shove it up. Those aren't suppositories. Will they work?
I just said I'd rather take four small ones, and no one used that line.
It was great, but Kyle shoving pills up his ass was better.
It's fine. I'll take four small ones up the ass too.
Just not at the same time, because it's kind of hard to get those hips to work.
Kyle,
they'll find a way.
They'll find a way. It's not quad anal, you know.
They'll find a way.
I remember DVDA being a thing.
There's a way.
Trey Parker made. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Let's see. What have we been up to this week? I would say find us on Twitch, but I'm embarrassed by this episode already. So let's go.
You shouldn't be.
Well, and apparently, and I gotta bend Joe. Joe's one of the people that's been on the show lots of times. If you're a new listener, you don't know the name. Apparently, he ended up having to leave his I'm not going to give too many details. I'm just going to say somebody said some shit about me that caused him some grief this week, and I would like to find out the details of it. But just letting you know, we don't care what your opinion of us is. You know, you can send me a 5-page bulleted email about things that you don't like about how we do our show.
Right. To be clear.
Fuck you, because I'm still going to do it the way that I want to do it. Because
to be clear. Just to be fair, there are individuals whose opinions we do care about, but they're the people who give us money.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us money. If we care about your opinion.
If a patron said, whoa, hey guys, too far. I'm more willing to listen to it than, right. than somebody just off the street.
Right, right. And that really doesn't have to do with you giving us money.
Well, the thing it's is, like, just, like you know. When's the last time we offended somebody? I'm wondering. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we offend.
I'm sure we have.
I'm sure
daily,
we offend lots of people, but the last time we offended somebody who we
care about? The new Utah Outcast channel has like a video every day for like the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. You're welcome.
Right. Why are you not subscribed?
Anyway, what are we going to talk about this week?
That is a really good question.
I forgot to update my notes. I was going to talk about Eternals, but we did that last week.
And we did, and I still haven't seen it.
It was good.
It's fine. I'm just not going to theaters. I am not going to a theater. Fuck that.
Felicia, we missed you last week. What have you been doing? And you've muted yourself, and you can't unmute yourself because I changed that. So there you go. Because I got tired of hearing somebody's burping in the background.
I muted myself out of politeness and
fuck that.
Roger was making some noise.
Oh.
And then I was like, oh, oops. Oopsie. What have I been up to? Nothing. yeah. Absolutely.
Fastest intro ever, you know.
Like, just doing some artwork and doing like, I don't know, just stuff. I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to make up my own like coat of arms animals because all the ones I found weren't right what I wanted them to look like, so I had to make up my own. That was fun. That was a fun project. But other than that, like, you know, just some shit. Where was I last week? Oh, it was just Roger's birthday. We had a great night. We've seriously cut back on our alcohol. So our tolerance is just dropped. And we both got tired really early in the night for us, like 2 a.m, and went to bed.
Middle age is a thing.
Yep.
And I'm usually up till about 5. We 2 a.m. We're like bedtime.
Kids.
It was wonderful.
When's the last time you've gone to bed the same time Carly went to bed?
Never. But
they don't have kids, so going to bed has different connotations.
It has than completely different. And yeah, there's.
I love not having kids, you guys. Like, more this is great.
You should.
Hey, everybody out there in podcasting land, don't have kids.
Don't have kids because they get expensive, especially when they get to, you know, 15, 16, and they join the high school marching band. And in the course of a couple months, it has cost a couple $1,000s.
I've started cooking every night because I love cooking, and Roger, like, I'm not working a traditional job, and so I have more time, and so like I have a lot more energy to put into things like cooking, and I've started cooking for us every night, and that has been absolutely lovely. And Roger's lost like probably 15 pounds at this point.
Because he doesn't like your cooking? Sorry, I had to go there. It was too much of a pregnant pause.
No. It's fine. It's fine. That was the low.
Kyle and I both had the same joke going in our brain at the same time. Sorry.
That was the low hanging fruit joke.
Because we're not eating so much processed food.
Yeah.
We're eating a lot more vegetables. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like I'm even like going out of my way to make healthy food or whatever. I haven't really lost any weight, I don't think.
I made a fantastic pot roast this week.
Dude, I fucking grilled up some steaks.
I learned that when I cook steaks, I need to have the pan because I always pan do my steaks.
Yeah.
And when I cook up steaks, I need that pan to be rip-roaring hot. and it
get that good sear.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you need it like third degree burn hot if you touch it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, mm-hmm. like ripper and like
it's, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. That cast iron needs to be glowing. Sear it up on the
outside, like danger, danger. Disable, like you don't even, you can't even just like turn off. You have to like take the smoke alarms down, open all the doors and windows.
We turn on the swamp cooler vent in mm-hmm. winter. That's what we
yeah.
do.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I make yep. a lot of bacon in my house, and that's where we are right now. Because pan fried tastes so much better than oven baked. I'm sorry. It just does.
It does, yeah. But oven baked is easier.
It is easier,
yes.
But.
Yes. Well, if you.
And it gives me look, time to get a shower and come back down.
Well, yeah. You take your steaks, you put them in the oven, you put them in at, you know, 250 for 15, 20 minutes. And then you flip the fuck on with that broiler as high as it'll go for just 2-3 minutes. Flip them 2-3 minutes, get a nice little crust there.
Yeah,
it's pretty. It's pretty fucking good.
So you reverse sear?
Oh yeah, of course I do.
The oven. Yeah, I've just the steaks that we got from the ranch cow that Roger's whole family bought, and we had just a lot of money up front, but we have beef.
Like check your privilege, cow owner.
No, gross. that's the way to do it. If no, you can store it, yeah.
Cow to keep. This is, we bought a dead cow. Well,
we bought the remains of the cow.
It is look. I've met cows. That's the best form of cow.
I love cows, especially dairy cows.
They have it coming though.
They deserved it. They deserve it. Look. I don't know if you know this, but all cows are racist.
I did not. No.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, yeah. Hey, stay away from those people. They smell funny.
What are you doing? Don't. Okay. So if my mic sounds weird, it's because my cat decided he's going to use it as his face scratcher.
So anyway.
Hi, I'm Amy with a Y, and I live in Minnesota.
And I'm Amy with an I, and I live in Texas.
And we're the hosts of Secular Soup, where each week we offer up a bowl of real talk about atheism, feminism, politics, parenting, and whatever else we want to talk about because it's our podcast.
Just listen to what these random dudes are saying about our show.
They used to have that cartoon Daria. This is what would happen if Daria and Jane grew up and started a podcast.
So if you like extremely foul-mouthed ladies with opinions, this is the podcast for you.
You can find us wherever fine podcasts are sold, and you can join us on all the social medias. Just search for Secular Soup Podcast in the Google machine.
Take it from your old friend, Eli Bosnick.
Grab a bowl and taste the magic. Slurp even this.
Dear young people.
Don't vote.
Don't vote.
Everything's fine the way it is.
Trump. That was us.
He's our guy.
Tax cuts for the rich? Hell yeah. I'm rich as fuck.
Climate change? That's a you problem. I'll be dead soon.
Sure, school shootings are sad.
But I haven't been in a school for 50 years.
I can't keep track of which lives matter.
Speaking of people that smell weird, let's go ahead and get to some headlines here. We have Mark Meadows. Let's talk about this guy.
Sure, why not?
You know, Mark Meadows, the guy who quit a perfectly good seat in Congress so that he could go, according to Wonkette here, so he could go suck Donald Trump's teat as his chief of staff, told Steve Bannon this week about a fever dream he's been having lately. And here's the quote from him. Speaking with recently indicted Steve Bannon on his podcast, The War Room. You know, there's no fighting in The War Room, I've been told.
Good reference.
I love that movie. Meadows said, I would love to see the gavel go from Nancy Pelosi to Donald Trump, talking about the Speaker of the House.
Yes, yeah, sure. How's that going to happen?
Talking about melting down, people would go crazy. And he continues, she, meaning Nancy Pelosi, would go from tearing up a speech to giving the gavel to Donald Trump. Oh, she would go crazy. You know, because that's how governance should work, is the market of offensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We have no policy, nothing at all. But sure, we made those libs angry, man. We got them mm-hmm. so pissed off and triggered. You know, that's how they're running the country. They want to run the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like that little fantasy about the Speaker of the House not being an elected member of Congress, even though yes, technically that's possible, but that has never happened.
Yeah, but give them a chance and they will make it happen, would it, Kyle.
Would they?
I think we're giving them a little would less they? Credit than... Man, we got Donald Trump in 2016 as a fucking president, so stranger things have happened already. Kyle Rittenhouse got off without a goddamn charge for anything this week. So yes, I think we have to give them the wide berth that they could potentially do something like this. Will it happen? Probably not, but I'm not saying that it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Because we have
people in his party that are like, subpoena, ha!
I know you're right. I know you're
motherfucker,
right.
Motherfucker, we've done this show for 6 years.
I know you're right. But I refuse to accept. I refuse to accept that.
You need to internalize this.
No.
Yes. No.
I don't want.
I understand you don't want to, honey.
I don't want to see members of government like hanged from the Veronazzo Bridge or anything, but it's going to happen because we live in the shittiest timeline, Kyle.
Oh my God. Yeah, and you need to be prepared for the shittiest timeline events. Not...
So yeah, guys, up your patronage and we're going to get a gun closet going on here on Utah Outcast. Look, we are going to have a gun cabinet right here next to the mixer. You know?
Look, there need to be some... There need to be some...
There are no norms anymore,
there,
Kyle.
There need to be surprises. No more spoilers.
No, honey.
That was a long discussion we had.
You need to be prepared.
That was a long discussion we had on the live stream this week. Kyle's just calling back. We were talking about spoilers there for a bit. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So anyway.
I was like, no. We cannot. No, you have to get ready for this.
So here from the article, it says...
You won't play with me.
The wingnut fap fantasy here is that Trump would become speaker and he would impeach Joe Biden and then somehow the Senate would magically bend to his will and Trump would be restored to his rightful place in power.
That's not how that works.
Of course, there are some problems with this, none of which are that the speaker has to be a member of the House of Representatives because they don't. We're thinking of more problems like how Trump is the laziest fucking person on the planet, according to this article. Who probably can't even spell impeachment, much less draft articles of them.
But that's okay. He wouldn't have to. Somebody else can draft them.
Yeah, Steve Miller.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do anything.
And again, there's that whole thing with the Senate. Democrats couldn't find a few honest Republicans to agree that Trump shouldn't try to force countries to help him steal elections, or that he shouldn't incite terrorist attacks on the entire branches of American government. Likewise, good luck even getting a majority of senators, much less 2/3, to agree that Biden should be impeached for dur Afghanistan, Hunter Biden laptop, dur. I love Wonkit, guys. Fucking donate to this news site. They're the fucking best. They make me laugh every week.
The fucking laptop thing. Oh my God.
Like, what does this have to do with the president of the United States?
It's... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, draft articles of impeachment. What for?
Like, that's let's go Brandon level of dumb.
Oh my God, my wife finally tapped into the zeitgeist this week about let's go Brandon. She finally- and she's like, she's the person I go to for like to gauge what the rest of the world is like with politics and stuff.
That's a good idea.
I love her to death, but she's my thermometer.
I need one of those.
She's my thermometer to like to realize like, am I too deep? Am I? And I am 90% of the time.
No, I know that feeling because, like, when I've had to explain, like,
would you have to explain intricacies of like internet politics? Like, if I had to explain to somebody who James Lindsay is,
it's gonna sound so much dumber when I say when it out loud.
Instead of just living it and watching him doing his stupid little sword dance.
It's like when I had to explain to my boss why someone wearing a Hawaiian shirt can sometimes be a fascist. And I was like, you guys should wear Hawaiian shirts. And he's like, what? And I'm like, okay, so.
So hang on. It makes you sound like a fucking wacko.
Yes!
I know, and I'm like, I know what I sound like.
And so, yes, so she...
I didn't make this
she tapped into the let's go Brandon thing.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I thought it was like some local sports team thing where they're like trying to help a young kid out that was like down on his luck or something.
That sounds like
and then she's like, then I Googled it. Then I Googled it and she's like, oh no.
Just say fuck Joe Biden.
Just say it.
Fuck Joe Biden. Fuck him.
You can say it.
Fuck you, Joe Biden. You piece of shit.
So anyway, where the fuck was I?
And then you have to explain it to people and it sounds really stupid and you're like, and you're worried that these people are going to take over the government? Unfortunately, yes.
Because
I don't want to believe that this is possible either.
But it is.
But it is.
Because stupider shit has happened in this country, man.
Yeah.
There's no reason we should have won against the British. There's no reason.
I mean, at this point, look, at this point in time, well,
they do things in the real world, and they do it with stupid shirts that say things like, let's go Brandon! I hate it!
So,
like, at least the Nazis said Hugo Boss!
So, according to this article, it says, hell, he might not even get a majority of the House, even if Republicans take it back next year. Also, raise your hand if you think Donald Trump can count votes. Steve Bannon, who is currently under federal indictment for telling Congress subpoenas to go fuck themselves, would likely be overjoyed by such a prospect. For the leadership of the House of Representatives to go to Nancy Pelosi, who created the select committee that's investigating the January 6th attack, the committee that referred Bannon for indictment, to Trump, who instigated the attack himself. He'd love it on a number of levels, we think. And of course, that would be like if Republicans had made Osama bin Laden speaker in 2002. But we have an honest question here. Something we're really getting curious about, and it's this. When are these power-hungry Republican bastards going to start giving a shit about their own power again? We mean personally, not collectively. Is it in 2024? Next year when the midterm's going on? He's like, hear us out. Because to us, it seems like Mark Meadows is slapping his erstwhile pal, Kevin McCarthy, and any other mouth-breathing Republicans who might be hungry for the speakership, Jim Jordan, right across the face by suggesting that garbage outsider Donald Trump should come in and usurp leadership in the House. Forget owning the libs. They're owning their own people at that point.
That is what they do, though.
Meanwhile,
it's been a minute.
Meanwhile, we're seeing all this waffling from the likes of Ron DeSantis and Josh Hawley, men we are pretty sure would much rather be the Republican nominee in 2024 than they'd like to be forced to worship Trump as the once and future king to infinity and beyond while they grunt around on the floor desperate for Trump to throw them his table scraps. Jesus Christ.
Right. But let's be honest.
I think they'd be fine. I think they'd be fine humping the floor for the table scraps. I think they'd be fine with it.
So
they would,
but let's be honest. Trump doesn't throw table scraps.
No. No.
He does one scoop of ice cream when he gets two.
You get one, he gets two.
He gets two.
He does not give out table scraps.
Chocolate cake, doing classified shit out in the middle of Mar-a-Lago on the fucking ballroom. God damn you, man. So when will some of these dorks grow a fucking spine and say, no, you old shithole, I came to Washington to get power for myself. Not to serve some overgrown anal fissure who thoroughly despised by the majority of the American public who's thrilled he allegedly passed the dementia test?
Man, person, woman, TV.
Camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Camera.
Right. Right.
Look, we're not even pretending.
That's not even part of the test. That was just
Man,
shit
woman,
he made
person,
up.
TV camera.
Look, we're not even pretending that even one of these craven ingrown pubes came to Washington to serve. No, fuck that, LOL. They're all in it for themselves. Fucking just top. I fucking love this article. It's so good. It's astounding how they've all turned into such slobbering sycophants ever since Trump waddled down that elevator in 2015 and presented himself as the world's ugliest man. Astounding and pathetic. Are they all so stupid as to think that Trump will one day step aside and anoint them? If so, What part of the last 6 years suggested to them that loyalty goes both ways with Trump? So
I don't think they care. I don't think they care. I'm not saying that it's good or like that they're right, but I just don't think they care.
They don't. They see where other people have gotten some temporary
boosts.
Some temporary boosts in power by riding his coattails.
Well, and then they think,
hey, how does that work out for most of them though? not well.
Not so well so far. And it's kind of going on a downhill trajectory. We'll see. But prospects are not looking great.
I don't know. Most of them seem to be fine. Most of them are fine.
Want to get in touch with the Outcasts? It's easy. We're available on most social media platforms as Utah Outcasts. We're on YouTube, Reddit, Patreon, Stitcher, Spreaker, well, shit, you name it. You can email us via mailbag at utahoutcast.com. You can always leave us a voicemail or text by using 347-669-3377. Or for those of you who are so inclined, click the Contact Us link on our website, utahoutcast.com, and we'll be in touch.
You know what? Go ahead and pour me a little bit of a full glass of that rum.
Bert.
No ice, no ice.
Bert, no.
Hey, I can handle it. It's just something to moisten my lips. I'm not going back to the darkness, sweetie.
Bert, you've been sober for 47 straight days.
Aw, oh, man.
Hey, damn it, that's my rum. You don't have to pour it down the sink, man.
We're gonna do it together. Right, Bert?
You don't have a monkey wrench, do you?
Bert, I know what you're thinking.
What? I'm not going to dismantle the pipes and drink from the U-trap.
You guys remember that bishop we talked about a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Breaking necks here to move on to the next topic.
Yeah.
You remember the bishop that we talked about a couple months ago that left the church to go hang out with the satanic witch author that was doing all the erotic books? Bishop Xavier Novella Goma
made global
headlines announcing his registration from the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes of us going, good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for you.
It wasn't a huge shocker that it was newsworthy, given that he had once been the youngest bishop in Spain at the age of 41. The reason for this headline-worthy was because he stepped down after falling in love with Sevilla Caballol,
a divorced woman
who wrote erotic fiction with a satanic twist. That lady.
Right. And
that's right.
So anyway, yeah, good. He fell in love, right?
Yeah.
And then pursued that relationship instead of obeying his priestly vow of celibacy, according to him in here. Good for him. The satanic erotica was irrelevant, but a detail that just made everything so much better.
It did. It did. It was a...
Yeah. Now, there's another wrinkle in the story.
Oh?
Oh, no.
Oh?
That's going to make your jaw drop another couple of inches. Don't read ahead. Don't read ahead, Kyle.
Oh? I'm...
According to Spanish media, Novell has already found a new career path since leaving the Catholic Church.
Oh?
He's working for a pig semen company.
Good for him?
I think that's weird how things work on the show. Like, didn't we have a thing where there was a silo of cow semen that we were talking about one time?
It
all comes back to sperm, I swear to God, man.
That
produces and distributes only the highest quality pig liquid, it says here.
Okay.
Novell's job is literally pulling the pork.
That's not a thing.
He masturbates the pig.
Yeah, it is. It's a job. Why is this a story?
No. There are some hills I'm going to die on, and this is one of them. That is not a thing. That is not a possibility. You cannot masturbate a pig.
He's not doing the reach around and be like tugging and wiggling for the guy.
Yeah.
He could just be holding the fleshlight.
That's a difference. There's a difference. Masturbating
you're
the pig.
You're splitting hairs here, Kyle.
I am splitting
you're
hair
splitting
because this
boar
is
more hairs here.
This is an important hair to split. God damn it!
Well, he's just googling it right now. I saw the white browser pop up on her thing. She's like, hold on.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't count. If you're just holding the fleshlight, it doesn't count as masturbating the pig.
Well, it wouldn't happen without your intervention.
Look, if your hand is interchangeable with a
C clamp?
With a C clamp, it doesn't count.
It does. Automation changes everything, Kyle.
But you seem to have like a mechanical disagreement with the ability to masturbate a pig, and I had to know, like, why would it be impossible to masturbate a pig? And it's not. I just looked up pig pizzle, and like that's a pizzle. You can do stuff to that'll make it.
Is it weird though? I mean, is it like duck
it
dick?
Is weird.
Yes, yeah. It is.
It's not
yes,
like duck
it
dick,
is.
But it's like horse dick, but weirder.
No, it's. There's corkscrew action going down there.
That's why I thought the
kinda,
ducks.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Kinda. Not as much as duck.
It's enough to make it a difficult prospect.
But I.
So anyway, a priest.
I feel like an expert in this. I feel like an expert in what gets pig off could get a pig off, is all I'm saying. Like, it can be done, is all I'm saying.
It's mostly okay. Like straight guys. It's pretty goddamn simple.
It is not.
Yeah, thrust it in someplace moist,
it's
preferably
not
warm.
Difficult. And it is not difficult. I have had a pet pig in my life.
Wait.
It is not.
This sounds
difficult.
Like a road that
it is not difficult. Kyle? I need to excuse myself for a few seconds here.
He's going to go. I know your excuse is you need to pee.
It's just pretty good timing.
When I was a kid,
talk about it.
He opened the door. they're coming for Kyle. I don't know if you can hear the sirens, but that's a weird thing to get hung up on.
That was not where I expected that conversation to go.
No. So anyway, a priest said to told Spanish media, you know, it's like the parable of the prodigal son. In the Gospel of Luke. Man, I don't know how you get from tugging pigs to the prodigal son, but I'm here for it. So anyway, the son who abandoned the father to lead a debaucherous life and somehow ended up wishing to eat pig slop. Okay. But in this case, it's the beast / devil because he masturbates them. So.
I understand why this is a story is my issue.
Like, he's got a fucking day job. Okay. You know?
Yeah. Like, I actually feel like this is, like, weirdly scrutinizing this guy. I don't know.
I get it, but it gave me an excuse to come up with pulled pork. So, I'm just saying. That's the joke I wanted to get across. I'm sorry.
I'm like, okay, so he has a job? Okay.
And I was going to do a whole nother story about...
this is an industry.
I was going to do another story about Michael Flynn, but no.
Speaking of pulled pork.
No, we're not going to do that. So we're going to cut to our first little break because I've decided to be a lot more strict about our time that we spend on camera. And guys, we're going to jump back here in about 10 minutes with more of the show. If you're watching us on Twitch and stuff, like I said, 10 minutes everywhere else, it's going to be pretty quick. So we'll be right back.
We don't care where you catch the show, whether it be iTunes, Overcast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, or hell, even YouTube. If you enjoy the show, even the slightest amount, all we ask is that you guys give us a subscribe, like, or share us with your friends. Without word of mouth, we'd have never become the show that we are today.
This show contains adult content and is brought to you by the letter H.
Ah! Hello. Son of a bitch. I'm on my way. Some poor bastard got his head blown off down at a place called Hooper's.
Bert, I wish you wouldn't drink so much, Bert.
Well, Ernie, I wish you wouldn't eat cookies in the damn bed!
Bert, you're shouting again, Bert.
All right, folks, we're back from our break, and I don't know how to introduce this next line of stuff that we're going to be talking about here because the GOP has lost its goddamn mind.
What?
They have already.
Sorry. I was going to say lost?
They demand to be taken seriously.
There are dozens of us, Kyle. Dozens.
We are very serious people. And like all serious people, we get into fights.
Yeah, very serious
with Muppets.
Okay, so we know CPAC is a thing, right? What is it? Conservative Political Action Conference or Political Action
Committee? At this point, they should just rebrand it CFAP. Because that's all it is now.
Because they decided this past week on social media to go ahead and put out.
We are very serious people.
Take us seriously.
We're very serious boys.
You remember the last one they had that fucking Bermuda shorts wearing Trump golden statue that people were praying to.
We are very serious people.
I want to be at the RNC. I want to see Patricia McCloskey.
No. So CPAC is happening in Florida because obviously it is, because they can't do it in a serious state anymore.
Wait, has it ever been anywhere else?
No, it has. It really has been.
It has been, but I'm pretty sure it's just got a permanent home in Florida now because they are serious people and they demand a serious state.
I feel like it's been at Florida for like the last 5 years.
No, it was done in I think it was in Washington, not Washington, like near Washington, D.C., so Virginia or what have you, out that way on the Eastern Sea.
That's a lie. It's always been
No, I mean, Auntie used to go to that like every time because it was nearby. I remember, yeah. You know?
Oh, that's right.
And why not? Oh. Who doesn't want to go see the fucking clown show? You know? So anyway.
I want to meet Dan Bongino. No, that's don't. A Nick Lusco song, everyone. You should go listen to it.
Dun, dun,
I want to be at the
dun,
RNC.
Dun, dun. I'm a cut. Dun, 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 dun.
No, that's
no, I just
Tom. That's Tom Cardi. No, Nick Lusco did the RNC. He wants to change his name to Nick Bongino.
Boat parade.
Hey, is Roger becoming the fourth on the show? Because he would have a good time.
I know he's
looking
he's
for a fourth.
Looking for a fourth, guys, so we can have more time off for ourselves.
But every time I'm going to be off, he's going to be off. So.
So anyway, they're putting together a list of people that who are invited / not invited to CPAC 22 in Florida. And they've decided to start putting out their hit list of people that are not invited.
It's like a child being like, you're not invited anyway.
I mean, like, okay, so 99.9%.
They weren't going to go.
99.999, however many percent, are not invited to be speakers at CPAC, right? I mean, automatically we know this because right. There's not 10,000 goddamn speakers at CPAC.
Right.
Oh, you guys, I want to make one of us not invited and see if we can get people to.
So, not invited. First up, we have Elmo. And
Elmo is not invited to CPAC.
They tweeted this out.
Elmo is 3 years old.
Elmo is a child in Sesame Street
lore. Elmo is 3 years old.
Also not invited, Big Bird and Bert and Ernie. They tweeted these out. These are literal things that somebody in the world of Matt Schlapp, who's the guy that runs the CPAC thing, made these graphics and sent them out saying that they're not invited.
They paid someone to say the three-year-old Muppet.
Well, I mean,
and the giant bird.
The
gay Muppets aren't invited to CPAC. And now,
let's be honest.
Bert and Ernie haven't had sex in years. That's the problem. Well, is that
they definitely didn't pay somebody. This was unpaid intern kind of work. You can tell because the photoshopping is not very good.
But at the same time, like, I have personal like levels of like morality where if somebody said, I need you to make a picture where it's crosshairs over Big Bird's face, I'd be like, no, I'm sorry. Big Bird. I can't do this. You know? Big Bird is a fucking national treasure. Carol's Minnie was a fucking fantastic voice actor.
Very serious boy, TM, Ben Shapiro, also said that he wanted to, and I quote, take Big Bird out back and cap him.
Cap him.
He said cap him.
These are very serious people.
Very serious boy, Ben Shapiro, said this on television.
Do you know Big Bird would make him part of his fucking giant nest on Sesame Street? You know, Big Bird gives no fucks. Big Bird would fuck
Big Bird
you
gives
up,
no fucks.
Man. Like, did he not even watch Follow That Bird? I mean, obviously not, because he's not fun.
Could you imagine being a very serious boy and saying this?
Look, I know we brought this topic up because it's silly. You know, we're talking about this because it's fucking weird. And this is the norm now for like the GOP. But these guys are taking it seriously, you know, like
they have no policies anymore. It's just culture war bullshit.
And does anybody want to talk about? Okay, so last week you weren't here, Felicia. We did a patron show, and we're going to do it again this week because we have to.
I hate you
with Mimsy Moon and the sock puppet liberal.
Piper
Strawman. Is the name
this
of the
what
character?
Was this what I was supposed to watch?
Yes, thing.
The thing that you said. Yes. I'll have a video to you this week.
I did say that. I didn't do it.
Oh, so that's the reason why we're getting a second.
I didn't want to do my makeup.
Oh, it's fine because you're gonna be in for a treat.
And good. I wish you were here to see. I wish you were here to see the mouth not matching the words going on where she tries to ventriloquize this stuff.
Oh,
she doesn't. It's so bad.
Right.
So, okay. So Big Bird, Ernie, Big Bird and Bert and Ernie.
Your mouth.
you could, like, the Avenue Q people, like, they didn't try doing ventriloquism.
Okay, fucking save it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. You want to hear that? It's $1 a month, guys. It's really easy to find it. And we did one last week that went almost an hour. We went almost an hour on that video.
I was getting mad.
We got to a point where we're like, we need to stop. We need to stop, guys.
It's bad. Ooh.
Hellbound Hillbilly's like, yes! So fucking worth it.
It was bad.
Oh, this will be a thing.
Okay, so keep in mind, Big Bird, Bert and Ernie, and Elmo are all Sesame Street characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technically, yes. Because the Jim Henson Company made them, they're technically Muppets, right?
Okay, they are not technically.
So, do you want to know who got invited to CPAC 22? First of all, Sam the Eagle.
Oh my God, the parody. The parody of over American, like the nationalist, the parody of people who are too America.
I'm not too happy about this joke. Sam the Eagle. And also.
But he's a joke.
And also Statler and Waldorf as well. So the two old fucking hecklers.
Oh my God, are you serious? Are you serious right now?
I think it started as a Jimmy Kimmel joke and he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to fucking run with this. So yes, those three have been invited to CPAC. Whether they're showing up or not is another story altogether.
It's like inviting.
Oh, I hope they do.
It's inviting.
I hope Statler and Waldorf show up at CPAC where they're like, I've seen better shows when I was dead.
Yes. Please have them go to CPAC and roast it the whole time.
Last time I saw a piss bag talk this long, it was during Nancy Kerrigan when she was talking to the Olympics. It's old fucking jokes, guys. Nancy Kerrigan wasn't on a fucking catheter. I don't know why I brought that up.
I want this. I want those two old guys to go and roast CPAC the whole time.
Did you hear about Ted Cruz?
I want Sam the Eagle to give a speech.
This isn't American at all. What are you doing?
I don't think they really realize what they would be getting.
This is Colbert at the correspondence dinner.
Yes.
They don't understand what they are doing.
They have no policy anymore. They have none.
All they have is culture war. Yeah, they have no policy.
So getting to Matt Schlapp here. And he was mad at an Associated Press. This is all tweets, guys. Everything's on Twitter nowadays. Sesame Street is welcoming its first ever Asian American Muppet, Ji Young, is 7. Korean American and loves to rock out on her guitar. Yada, yada, yada. So, anyway, Matt Schlapp writes back saying, What race is Ernie is Bert? He wrote in bad English.
What? Okay. They're not. They're Muppets.
You are insane, PBS, and we should stop funding you.
Ernie is Jewish. Probably. I mean,
nope.
I'm not saying that they're about
it's Bert because he collects bottle caps and that's a form of currency that happens in the Fallout universe. So that's my head cannon.
We are very serious people.
Take us
seriously. We demand to be taken seriously.
Are you kidding me? we are not serious people. We know who we are. We're just saying that they need to start realizing who they are.
Well, one, that is a stupid ass question because Bert and Ernie are white as fuck.
Yeah.
No.
Bert's into bottle caps and fucking pigeons.
They don't. That's something I love. It's like that
they don't. The Muppets
have races.
They don't.
Because that way everyone can see them. Like, that's the whole point of Elmo, right?
What race is Grover?
Every child can see themselves in Elmo. And that's the benefit.
I know. But.
However, I'm not like mad about the Asian American Muppet. I'm not.
But here's the thing, like Rosita is a Muppet that got introduced a couple years back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the Spanish speaking people. Latin. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, she's a Latin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not like
I'm not gonna be mad.
Where was the I'm sure there was outrage. I was gonna say where's the goddamn outrage, but I'm sure there was
Remember like everyone who's like, did these fuckers get mad about seatbelts, you know, because like masks? And it's like, Yes, they did.
Yes, they absolutely did. So
they had been children for a very long time.
So this news article comes from NBC Chicago, and it says Matt Schlapp, the president of the Conservative Political Action Committee, has drawn criticism from Asian Americans and others across social media this week after he called for Sesame Street to be defunded for introducing its first Asian American Muppet. My God, it's almost like Asian Americans haven't been part of American history for fucking ever.
They really weren't for a long time because of racism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it.
A lot.
Matchlab doesn't realize how big the Korean population is in the United States, or the Chinese population, or the Japanese population.
Now.
Yeah. Yes.
The Chinese Exclusion Act did a lot of damage, I'm saying.
No, and it's funny. It's funny that I saw somebody that was like a vehement, like Second Amendment, like defender talking about how that's why we have the Second Amendment to keep stuff from like this from happening. And someone's like, oh, you mean like Topaz? Oh, you mean like this? Oh, you mean like the Trail of Tears? You mean like this? You know, all of the times where Americans were fucking rounded up and marched off to places, you know.
Right.
Where Nazis got the idea of concentration camps from?
You know, Adolf, this is a really good idea the Americans come up with.
Look at what they did.
If we put them all in one concentrated location, we could control them much easier.
I look too German tonight to do that voice. That's not a good idea.
Well, apparently.
I've got a wraparound braid. That's not okay. Too German.
So anyway, Schlapp, which is just a goddamn Schlapp. Funny name to begin with, a conservative lobbyist, no shit,
no.
tweeted a news story about the coming debut of Korean-American character Ji-young. The Muppet has been praised for letting Asian-American children see a character like themselves on the screen, but Schlapp has slammed the host network PBS, which receives both government and private sector funding.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You know, why? HBO pretty racist? Much bought
they're
the rights.
So racist.
HBO like, brought the keep... bought the rights to Sesame Street a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wrote it in their contract like, hey, after a certain amount of time, can we have these episodes come out on PBS? Which is great. You know, you have the privately funded corporation deciding, hey, yeah, we're gonna record these and they're gonna be new to everybody else, but eventually we're gonna release them to everyone. You know,
I personally think they should be new.
It should be, but you know, as far as like evil corporations go, deciding to eventually release them to public realm is a less evil way of saying, instead of saying, nope, forever, they're HBO, our content, you know.
HBO has done less evil than a lot.
You take that back right now because one, Bill Maher's the thing. Two, that last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh my God, you're right. I'm so sorry. You're entirely right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And three.
Except for, it wasn't HBO. That was D&D. That was 2D. Those the writers. I'm forgetting their names right now.
Douche and Douche. They're
the ones who quit
douche
out.
Douche and Douche, HBO, Evil Incorporated. Yes.
HBO offered them several more seasons. with open to keep doing more seasons after that. Mm-hmm. They had the money ready to go for them and they turned it down.
Yeah, because so, how stupid is it for your show that is wildly popular for you to be like, nope, we're done this year?
They wanted that Disney money.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted the Disney money.
Yep, yep.
Guess
yep.
what didn't happen?
Yep. And then they stepped on their own dicks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fell elbows first into their own balls. There you go. Ah, oh, that's pointy. Ah, oh, it hurts.
Anyway.
It was...
So what is he? So he's mad about this Asian yes. Muppet.
And yes. that's where I came across with the what race mm-hmm. is Ernie is Bert.
Oh, is that what he's...
That is exactly what he said.
What Slap said on Monday.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
They're all of them.
You are insane, PBS, and we should stop funding you. Hey, you know, if somebody's background is immutable to the point where you don't know, everybody gets to own them.
Yeah.
And so I'm speaking mainly to the people that are mad this week about Cowboy Bebop and the fact that Jet Black... his character is being portrayed as an African-American person. Like, yeah, it's not specifically stated in the anime whether or not Jet Black is actually black or not. So guess what?
Would it matter?
It doesn't fucking matter. Let people have things.
The only time that would matter is if the race of the character is actually relevant to anything the character does.
Yeah. No, it's just funny to me that people like make such a big goddamn deal out of like changing characters. You know, I'm actually surprised the Dune nerds didn't have more of a fucking problem with Liet Kynes being a woman, a black woman this time around, instead of it being Maximilian von Schnell.
There were some of them.
Oh, were there? I didn't pay attention to any of those.
Right,
so.
Right, because they are not serious people worth paying any attention
there
to.
There are dozens of us.
I remember saying to you, X, I know I need to say that this was not my position.
Yeah.
I said Dune was being criticized as being too white, and then I saw it, and
the movie is not
too white. there is specific characters who are white.
Yes,
yes,
but,
there are,
but they are also very much. They are also very much not heroes.
Anyway, no. Holy shit, that movie though, you guys.
Yeah, we're just going to spend the rest of our time talking about Dune now. So if
we
you don't want to hear us,
we can. As long as we split the time between talking about the movie and then talking about the film score, because
Score!
Oh my god! Score, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I don't know how. I don't know.
I can't believe that.
If you've not watched the Dune movie. This is the time where you might do it
quickly because it's being taken off of the HBO
at the end of the month. Yes.
Yeah,
so,
HBO Now.
There's absolutely no other way to get it. When that happens,
there's like 12 minutes left that we're going to talk about this for the rest of the show because I've wanted to talk about this. So we're going to do that.
Okay.
So anyway, Paul Atreides, if you've just watched the first Dune movie, and you don't understand what's going on quite so well. He's not a good guy.
Right. The first movie doesn't make that entirely clear.
Nobody is really a good guy. There is really no good guys.
The Fremen are good guys.
The Fremen are good guys. The Fremen are clearly good guys.
Sure. Some of them are.
Huh.
I would say most of them are, for the most part, yes.
Keep in mind,
the Fremen are not indigenous to Arrakis.
No.
They came to Arrakis. They were brought there because they were escaping slavery.
Yes.
Which is...
I didn't know that.
There's a lot.
That is like...
That's expanded universe.
That is expanded outside the original...
However, they weren't colonizers.
No, like, they decided to live in harmony with the planet. Yes.
They were what we would technically call like a colonizer, you know, made a colony. But that's not what we talk about when we talk about like European colonialism.
Right. It was an uninhabited planet.
They haven't quite touched on it yet. But the reason that the Fremen are actually working on making Arrakis green again,
mm-hmm.
they're working on turning it into a verdant planet.
Oh. Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so what they do is that Arrakis, the city where they, where is it? Arrakeen
mm-hmm.
on Arrakis is near one of the poles because there's still like ice water that's there that they can actually get to. and there's not as much problem of all the same.
Somebody had read his astronomy textbooks when making this book. Like,
that's fucking Brian, Frank Herbert was fucking a solid writer, man. Like, like he's up there with J.R.R. Tolkien when it comes to like making a universe. He's
world building.
He did a fantastic job of like fleshing this whole thing out. And keep in mind, Dune was written around the time that he saw the writing on the wall with oil companies, you know, coming in and fucking up the entire planet and claiming that their thing that everybody's addicted to is the only thing that we're spice is an allegory for oil.
It is. Yes.
No.
There's some people that need to be told that because they don't realize that. But I just want people to know that. So
I saw somebody on Twitter say, well, if you need spice to travel through space, then how did they get to Arrakis in the first place? I was like, they were lying.
Okay.
They were lying.
So before spice became the thing where navigators got to see from point A to point B to where they were going to.
Yeah.
They made a wild guess. And 20% of like spacecraft decided to like get out of hyperspace in the middle of a star. And so they fucking died.
So I get that. Yeah. I get that. But they were saying like, it's the only way. They were, you know, like they had this whole mythology, like this is the only way. This is the only way that we can do it, which is something, you know, the oil companies have done, right? Like,
hey, Evans,
like fossil fuel industry has done. Like we like you'll hear people to this day say, well, we can't power the entire world with renewables.
Yes, we can.
Yet, and because, why is that? Is it because there has been an entire structure in order to prevent other fuel source?
It's because the Spacing Guild told us that this is the only way that it works.
And the only reason that the Spacing Guild and the Bene Gesserit exists and all these people exist is because we decided to get too goddamn lazy and let the AIs think for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you could have the machine plot out point A to point B, right?
Yeah.
You could. But there's like laws written in their Bible that says that you cannot do this. A machine may not think the way that a man thinks.
Right. That is so good. That is such good writing. Right. That is such good writing.
Because
arbitrary rules that they made so that they can justify oppressing another people. That is such good writing. Oh, gosh. Right. Like,
The first four books are just fucking fantastic sci-fi. They're so amazing.
And then it turns out the whole thing started just because things went bad with sex robots.
I mean, it gets worse than that.
I'm not joking about that either.
There were
Billy?
There were giant war robots that decided to hack and take over like the planet's resources and shit. And they were essentially brains in a vat inside of giant robot bodies.
Well, that sounds bad.
Yeah, and that's where the Atreides family comes from. Is like they were one of the quote unquote Cymex is what they call them, and they were the like eight titans that ruled the Earth at the time.
Another like sign of really good writing that I picked up on. The Atreides family, they're not. Like you don't watch them and go, wow, these people are horrific monsters. These are not caricatures of
fascists, they're flawed fucking human people too. That's what I like about it.
Like that's the thing is like dude's dad. You know, they got the worms coming and they couldn't evac gathering.
Yeah, Leto.
Yeah. They Leto and he goes, we're going to risk our lives and we are going to save every one of these people.
Right. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but will you please tell Roger that his name is Daddy?
Roger, his name is Daddy.
There. We have to get it right.
His name is Poe Dameron.
It's the same thing.
to which he says it. Same thing.
That's Daddy in an X-Wing. Thank you very much. But God, can we talk about how good he looked with that beard, though? Like, that was facial hair, man.
Like I said, his name is Daddy.
I don't understand Timothy Chalamet thirst, but, you know, whatever gets you
He's off. Fine.
My daughter likes him, so that's all that matters.
He's fine. He's a little young for me, but he's fine.
Your daughter's already a wine mom?
I can hope so much, you know?
Anyway, No,
if my daughter comes over, like, I want to drink a bottle of like blush with you. Yeah, can we go do that? I'm like, fuck yes, we'll do that. You know.
So
I got a bottle of white Zin. Sure, we'll do this.
In our storytelling language, especially with the way we talk about fascism.
Yeah.
There are always these inhuman monsters, like often supernaturally evil, right?
Oh,
like,
the Harkonnens. Yeah, there you go.
Unthinkably. However, that's not what these bad guys, like not these bad guys, it's not what these fascists are in this story. Like like I said, he saves people. There's a part where you can see, like, he seems like he is trying to do at least some of what we would call the right thing. And I'm
he could have just stayed in the ornithopter and just lit that fucking like carryall, not show up and have the harvester.
I understand, like, a lot of people like expected them to be always good people because we saw them do good things. Not understanding.
No, they're royals, man.
That's how this shit works. That these are not monsters. These are human beings who are just as capable of the negotiations with the Fremen. Like, he's the Fremen understand he is not there. He is not acting in good faith. And he's like, I'm not going to be like the last house that was here. I want to actually work with you. I want to respect your customs and everything. And the Fremen are like, no, you clearly are full of shit. And it's because he might believe that he's better and he's a good person and he actually respects these people. But the reality is that he still wants to exploit them. He still wants to take advantage of them.
Yeah,
he still
wants Stilgar was the fucking union rep.
He still wants to colonize them, but he wants to do it in a way that he is such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And like, I'm
going to say it again in case people didn't hear me there. Stilgar was the fucking union rep.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have time for any of their shit. None of their niceties, none of their bullshit. Yep. What do you want from my people? Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't having it.
You're obviously here to take the spice, which belongs to us, off of this planet. What do you want in return?
Yeah.
What are you going to do for us?
What is your end game here? It was so good. It was so good. I loved it. I thought, like, and I could see so many people who are so indoctrinated with colonizer storytelling and like this mindset, like, oh, but he's not the bad guy, and how they missed that. I'm not saying that's the fault of the right of Frank Herbert.
Oh, it's so much better of a movie when you've read the book. I mean, the movie's great. It's a fantastic fucking movie.
Read the book again.
But the book is this played 1-to-1 with the book. And there was so much stuff that was pretty just fantastic, man.
Oh my god, it was pretty good. The scope that they were able to relate, like the scale of things was incredible.
Yeah, when the Emperor's people showed up on Caladan and just wanted to sign over, just the herald coming over with a piece of paperwork for them to sign. Jesus Christ, the pomp and fucking circumstance of that, the whole thing.
Right.
But I'm just like, just the cinematography, like the scale that you feel like you can feel how big it is. How did you even do that? That was incredible.
I have to like I said, if you liked the Blade Runner movie that came out, the sequel, you would like this movie because it is just a fantastic piece of movie. It is just an amazing movie.
Right.
So the Sardaukar scene where he goes to Seleucus Secundus and he's recruiting the three legions. The fucking throat singing, the Norwegian throat singing that was happening there, and them draining the fucking trainees that didn't make it past the training to smear blood on these people's faces and shit. I was just like, ooh, these are some bad motherfuckers, man. They're hinted at a lot, in the books, and like to see them in a movie is just like, I got fucking chills, man.
That was incredible.
And the fact that they in the middle of the fight and they're descending down just on their suspensor belts and they come in quietly and there's this whole fucking fight that happens. They take over the whole city like with like 20 of them kind of things. It's fantastic, man. I love that.
So
movie.
Dan said, too long, didn't read. There are no good or bad guys here. They're only people who eat, breathe, sleep and shit. No. That's not what it is. That you could say that's like Game of Thrones, where we're kind of looking at politics from that way.
Yeah,
no,
because anybody who tries for the throne is a bad person, you know?
Yeah. There is colonizers and there's the colonized.
Yep.
And the colonized are shown as justified. Very much so. in their positions.
The fact that Paul and Lady Jessica wouldn't have a fucking safe place to land at all if they didn't have an overarching group come in and prepare the people for them. You know, the Missionary Protectiva, they would have been fucking slaughtered on the spot if it wasn't for religious groups coming in and saying, hey, there's a myth, you know, that we're going to be bringing up here. It's like,
exactly. Oh, yes. So no, there are good and bad guys.
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's not that there are, you know, like divinely good and divinely bad,
right,
where we usually have very clear lines.
He said, I was talking about the story. I was talking about the colonizers and the mythology of colonialism specifically.
Yeah.
No, I would still say that I don't know if that's like in having seen it. I don't think that's a correct characterization.
Well, the Atreides family knows full well that they are a house that is targeted at pretty much all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole they showed the bull, right? Mm-hmm. That killed the grandpa.
Yeah.
Of Paul Atreides. That happened because the Harkonnens mate got in there and fucking dosed the bull, you know.
Yeah.
They made the bull be more aggressive than it should have been, and it killed the guy. And so, like, Leto at the whole time is like, yeah, these people are trying to kill me at all times. You know, it's like, it's where your paranoia meets reality versus trying to take care of my family, but also at the same time, you need to be fucking terrified at all times.
But also, they still want that power.
Yeah.
They're still siding with the power structure. Even though they feel targeted, they are
on
the side of that power
because structure. They have no other way of, you know, becoming greater in the world than working with the Landsraad and having the Chome Corporation, you know, set the prices for... Sorry, I'm getting really fucking deep. I love Dune. I fucking love Dune. So
like it's a systemic problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like how every one of those great houses is allowed to have atomic weapons, but not ever use them because that would cause them to be destroyed entirely.
Oh, yeah, so. You've got them, but you can't use them because then that would just be bad.
Huh. That's bad.
And then they get stuck in a...
Never between, heard of anything but, like that.
No,
between
no.
the whole, between the it, whole rock and a hard place because you're handed Arrakis, which is a shit deal, and... If you take it, you're going to die. If you refuse it, you're going to fucking die.
Yeah.
It was really all it was a fucking whole...
Leto knew he was fucked
It is an entire story of evil people, bad people, not quite so bad people, people.
And then the children of the not so bad people becoming absolute fucking monsters.
And then, you know, monster people. And then the Fremen who are like,
real fucked up thing for me about the Dune universe is that Paul had a choice between dying.
Yeah.
Or let's create a galaxy wide jihad where I am installed as a god emperor of all the people of the Imperium. But yet they're going to go out and murder quadrillions of people in my name,
right?
Visiting the skull of my father, who is now a shrine out there. He could have just died.
Spoilers? He could have
just died.
Right.
You know. But he talked about.
He had a choice. He had a choice, and he chose to fuck a sandworm.
No, he never fucked the sandworm.
Did we read a different book? Sorry. That was the slash fic on the forum.
Never mind. Shy Hulud cannot be fucked, thank you very much. You know.
Too much fanfic. Got it.
Yeah, thank you for
that. That was a very, very specific slash fic. Yeah.
So yeah, in later books, Paul Atreides is definitely not a hero. And like I said with the last time we talked about Dune is that Frank Herbert wrote this book saying that all populist leaders should come with a warning label that says maybe dangerous to your health or maybe hazardous to your health. And it's so fucking good because everybody falls in love with Paul Atreides. Mm-hmm. Everybody falls in love with the idea that he is the Lisan al Ghaib, the voice from the darkness, you know.
The white savior.
The white savior. And he's not. not. He's a fucking phony.
Right.
And never mind the fact. Never mind the fact that the Bene Gesserit have been manipulating this shit for thousands of years for him. What fucking agency did he have in being born? There's so many fucked up lines in this whole play, yeah. This whole story, and I love it.
It's
much.
It's almost like the system is bigger than the individuals, and that it's fine. I don't know. I've never heard of any issues like this.
Oh, I can't wait for the second movie to come out for people to talk to me about Ali and the Knife.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait.
And also, another movie people should really watch is Shang-Chi.
Good movie. Yeah.
You should.
Rewatch it.
Really
this
good
week.
Movie.
Yep. It was really, 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 really good. Awkwafina makes everything better. Awkwafina makes everything better. Everything.
So your name is Shang, but you changed it to Sean? That's like if your name was Michael and you changed it to Pikel.
Michael.
Awkwafina. Awkwafina makes everything better.
She radiates old lady energy, though. It's so funny to me.
She is fucking delightful. You wouldn't say that. You would not.
I find her very funny.
She is hilarious.
You would not say that if you had watched Nora from Queens.
I know. There's a lot of shit.
I swear to fucking God, you need to watch that. Because you would not say that, because there is absolutely zero old lady energy coming off her.
No, it's Shang-Chi. She's very much like old lady Awkwafina in a lot of scenes, right. Where she's just like.
So just to give you a taste, Nora from Queens, they've got an entire episode based around a queef.
All right, so let's see. The last little comment that we have out there is from Dan, who says, it's like Paradise Lost when Adam cursed the serpent for casting him out of Eden. And the serpent is like, fuckface, did you really think you had a choice?
Yes.
That's good shit. Yes. That's good shit.
Yeah, Paul Atreides is a victim of his own fucking creation. Mm-hmm. That's the... Oh, fuck. That's heavy.
You were wrong. All of you were wrong.
Every one of you
he
people
is
wrong.
A monster of our own making. Sorry, I watched Black Panther again recently.
Yeah. And so for people to just dust their hands off and be like, Dune is a white savior movie. I'm like, hang on.
It's not, hang on. Really?
Let's talk about that, though.
It's a little more nuanced than that. But the bigger takeaway is Denis Villeneuve is a brilliant and beautiful filmmaker.
Oh my God, that
and you should go watch
anything.
Everything he has created.
We were talking earlier about Wes Anderson. I was gonna say Wes Craven, but I didn't. Wes Anderson, like anything he makes, I'll watch it, even if it's bad.
Yeah.
Anything that Denis Villeneuve makes, I'll fucking watch it. And from this point on, he has proven to me that every movie that he has made, I have enjoyed.
Yes.
Arrival was fucking fantastic.
Arrival's really good.
I'm sorry, I'm like Blade Runner, this one. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one with the AI character, the robot in it? I can't remember what it was called.
And that's escaping
me right
now. No, it's it was two guys that go into like a hillside place where like the guy has a AI creation
Ex Machina.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Love that movie.
Fucking fantastic, man. The guy doesn't make bad movies. So.
Oscar Isaac should be required to dance in every
favorites.
Movie.
Always Oscar Isaac. Arrival's one of my favorites. I love that movie.
Holy shit, we're going to see him in Moon Knight here pretty soon, too.
I hope he dances.
Moon Knight was...
I'm sorry, the dancing scene in Ex Machina is one of the most beautiful scenes in any movie ever made.
I'm just excited because I wasn't huge into Marvel, but I've read the fucking entire run of Moon Knight.
Moon Knight is fantastic.
Fantastic. Felicia, I don't know if you know who Moon Knight is too much, but he's Marvel's equivalent of Batman. Except he's got dissociative identity disorder.
It's so much better. It's so much better than Batman.
And also he doesn't wear black everywhere. Fucking sharp ass white everywhere that he is. Like, he's not very easily to like disguise.
I was gonna say, I feel like I could see that in most situations.
Right. Yeah. That's the joke.
Right. Right. But he's like,
he's fucked up.
He's like Batman, but
But not a billionaire.
Scary Batman.
Not a billionaire Batman.
Batman, no morals.
All right.
Yeah, Batman beating up on mentally ill people since 1960-something.
Hey, you guys, have you guys noticed that since Trump's been out of office, we've been enjoying our pop culture a lot more? Hasn't that been nice?
Well,
hasn't
it's also
that been nice?
It's also yes. been a conscious choice on my behalf where I'm like, I don't want to talk about this shit.
I get that. I get that it was a conscious choice. But the thing is that while Trump was in office, like, it didn't
It was hard
feel
to
like,
enjoy anything.
It was hard to get there. Yeah, it was hard to enjoy. Yeah. It was hard to really to get to these places because, like, just every fucking day. And, like, yeah. that, like just the threat of it was always just so much.
That's when I developed my drinking problem.
I'm not saying Biden's a good guy. I'm not saying, like, normal is working. That's not what I'm
Yeah, no, he's
to,
not a good like, guy, but he's not a bad guy. That's
he's a bad guy as far as I'm concerned. Well. But what I mean is like it's not every fucking day. it's not one crisis after another. It's
not,
you know,
shoving a UV light up your asshole to stop COVID.
And then
that doesn't
then,
work.
Like, you remember when the
I did that for no reason?
When the COVID thing first happened and he was talking about it, I was like, man, there's going to be like 500 or 600 people. And I put myself into bed one day because I depressed myself to a point where I'm like, oh God, it's going to be like 7,000 to 12,000 people that die of COVID.
You were.
Jesus Christ, I was wrong.
You did not swing for the fences there.
No, because I thought any president who's worth their metal would do, with the amount of fucking money this country has, would do the best they possibly can to keep their citizens alive. Boy, was I fucking wrong about that one, too, you know?
God. 2020 is going to, like, it's like, it's a real trauma for me. Like, I am just now at the end of 2021 starting to feel like, oh yeah, I remember who I am as a person.
Yeah, and I got my substance abuse under control too. You know?
2020 was
me too.
So under traumatizing.
Control. Under control.
I did. it wasn't something that I
it's not an everyday thing anymore. Like, that's a plus, you know.
No, it's not.
It's not an everyday even, thing.
it's not
it's prescription,
not
it's okay.
I don't know. I was drinking a lot in 2020. Like,
yeah.
And I understand why. But then, yeah, like, it's just not what it was. And, yeah, like I said, my tolerance is way down now. Like, I just can't drink as much as I was in 2020. Yeah.
It's fine. I got a prescription for rosé. I don't know. I don't think it's from a real doctor, but I'll take it.
Wine now, it just makes me.
Doctor Wine, can you give me a prescription for rosé? I think I need about 4 liters a day.
One box a week.
Yeah.
And one for the weekend.
Jesus Christ. Felicia, did you hear Robert Evans talking about walking around the streets of San Francisco?
Yes.
Kyle, I don't know if you heard this one yet.
No.
So he said he would fill his Camelback full of fucking like Jose Cuervo, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And he would put.
Terrible choice, by the way.
Whatever it is. But yeah. he would put lime popsicles in with the Camelback.
Yeah.
And make walk around cold margaritas all day long.
It's mm-hmm. walk around cold margaritas. Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's camouflaged while you're in San Francisco. And I'm like,
I turned to Roger and I said, that's the Sunny in Philadelphia with the wine in the cans, but smart. Have you guys seen that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I refuse to watch that show.
What? That show's hilarious.
And no, I refuse to watch the show.
And I'm not being shitty Kyle. I just haven't seen it. So
fuck Philadelphia.
It's in one of the earlier.
It's ran longer than Ozzie and Harriet, you know.
Fuck Philadelphia. Fuck anything to do with Philadelphia.
Oh,
I refuse.
The town itself. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I feel like that show would agree with you.
I don't care. Fuck them and fuck Charlie Day.
Okay.
I have no reason to say that. I'm just salty.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't want to know.
Like, did he wrong you in a past life or some shit?
I have no idea, but he's associated with Philadelphia in some way. So fuck
Christ, Kyle. This brilliant decision that they can drink wine all day if they put it in soda cans, and then no one will know, but they walk around all day with wine lips and wine teeth.
I have no idea what YouTube might think about sneaking.
And so, like, Robert Evans walking around with a camelback, I said, yeah, it's the study in Philadelphia bit, but smart. Like,
yeah, because the straw goes in your mouth. Yes.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, it's a funny bit in Sunny. They walk around with red wine in cans, and everyone can tell they're drinking wine because it, you know, stains your teeth and lips.
Well, it's like when I, early days of this show, I used to show up with my giant ass Starbucks cup full of box wine.
Right, right.
That's right.
It looks like coffee.
Ooh.
With not enough light, it looks like coffee. You never know.
We're old.
Oh, shit. We've been at this for a long time.
Well, that about does her. Wraps are all up. And it was a pretty good story, don't you think? Made me laugh to beat the band. Parts, anyway. I guess that's the way the whole darned human comedy keeps perpetuating itself. Down through the generations. Westward the wagons. Across the sands of time until we... Oh, look at me. I'm rambling again. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail. Say, friend, get any more of that good sarsaparilla?
And that's a good time for us to bring this to a merciful close, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Oh my God, we're so old.
We'll get over it one of these days, and then we'll be dead. So anyway.
I plan on getting over it while I die, so
right.
That's it.
So that does it for us this week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to Kyle and Felicia for joining me. Now is the point where I have to give you a second to plug all your stuff. If you've got anything to plug, Kyle?
No.
No? Me? No, I haven't done anything this week. It's been a real shitty week at the day job where, let's see, in 2 days, they're going to start sending out letters to people like saying, if you haven't got your shot, you're fired, you know?
Oh-ho!
Ho-ho!
So I've been having to deal with old fucks that are like, I don't want to get a shot. I'm going to retire because... Ha ha, that's the way around that whole thing.
And your management. You get to fucking deal with this. You know what's fun about my position?
You know what I'm so mad about? Is that I'm having to be put into the fucking fray of having to look at people's medical shit. I'm like, I am not qualified to do this, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to know people's vaccination statuses. No. This should not be a thing that I am forced to do.
Shot.
Yeah, you know what's fun about my position?
You don't have to.
When somebody decides to be vocal about it, I get to tell them that they're fucking stupid.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be nice.
Anyway.
Honestly. Yes. Felicia, what do you got? Pluggables?
Yeah. Check out my many vids. RR Lush. I got some good shit on there, please. I got really cheap stuff that's like just dancing and things like that. So if you're looking for something a little more softcore, I've got some really cheap, fun videos that are just like exotic dance and stuff. So I don't know. Check it out.
I never quite grew out of the like Sears catalog shit. So like hardcore doesn't work for me as much as softcore works, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the imagination works better for me for some reason. I don't know why.
That must be nice. That must be really, really, really nice.
Like,
because I got to that point where it's like, nah, this isn't weird enough, man.
I seriously use porn to start my imagination, and then I put my phone down.
I'm like, what if that, but real life, you know?
Like, I'm like, okay, you know what? I have a good inspiration. Do your thing, Matt. But I do have hyperphantasia, so my imagination's very good at its job.
Yeah.
Too good, in fact.
I'm way too desensitized. It doesn't do
anything. Well, it's like looking at porn with like just big old pussy right there on the screen. I'm like, that doesn't do it for me. But like underwear,
yeah,
that works better. You know, I'm one of those weirdos where it just kind of works that way. It's like I'd rather not see the president unwrapped. Like, you know,
there's I have a
bulge
have
works
a
better than exposed. Like,
have,
you know,
I have stuff that is closed. Like that, like there is. I'm not new to any point. I have stuff that's just telling stories. So I'm just saying there's a variety there. It's a lot of fun.
The brain is an erogenous zone, people.
There is also some hardcore. There is some more hardcore stuff. That's the stuff that's expensive. So I don't know. Check it out.
Yeah, because it takes more production work.
Yeah. And also, pay me.
Yes. Tip your sex workers. tip your waitstaff and tip your sex workers.
So. Yep.
All right, folks, that's it for us. We'll catch you next week with another one of these. Thank you for joining us. It's time to bring episode number 365. 365, that's a year worth of...
Yeah, that's
if you listen to an episode a day,
we have
a year.
Episode a day.
Yep.
Ugh, fuck, we're getting old.
It would take you a year to listen to everything. Yeah.
Are we crazy people?
Yes, we are.
We are, because we're not successful by any stretch, you know, but yet we still
we're still gonna do it.
Well, I mean, it gives me an excuse to talk with my friends and just let other people join in on it, so... All right, folks, we're out of here. Remember, everyone, you're welcome.
On me.
Good night, everybody.
All right, folks, you got me at the very end here. It's been a long recording session. It was a long episode this week. We had a good time doing it. We'll be back next week with more of this after the Thanksgiving holiday. If you're not in the United States, just letting you know that this is that time of the year where we gorge ourselves on food and pretend like everything is okay in the world and that we should be thankful for things. Not a bad message, but, you know, I know a lot of people can't get on board with that. But anyway, I am thankful for all of those people that continue to make this show happen every single month with your support that you give to us via Patreon. Thank you all so much for that. And let me go ahead and get started reading the list of those people. Just letting you know, we are on the lookout for a fourth member to join the Utah Outcasts. Probably sometime in the new year. But anyway, if you feel like you meet the conditions and you want to become a member of the Utah Outcasts, please let me know. Locals preferred. Just giving you a heads up on that one. All right, so let's go ahead and thank Andrea Brooks, Becky Scott Fairley, Bethany Ring, CPT Miller 132, Hugh Robinson, James Russell, Cash Framke, Nate Smith, Randall Gaz, Robert X, Ruby Rocketansky, Susan Turpin, The Godless Revolution, Tim Smith, Winter Solstice 93, Arizona Atheists, Azozio, Ben Roberts, Evil Loch Ness, Divine Disbelief, Dr. Rick Boddicker, Elcor 420, Gary Gerfin, Gina, Glenn Albus, Henry Hutan, and Hylian Monkeys, J.LX2, Keith Young, Kimberly Kellogg, Kyle Johnson, Lana Nilsson, Mark Cecil, Michael Murphy, Rob Foster, Ryan Stevenson, Satan's Little Monkey, Stellar Monstrosity Trickster, and Jason Reed. We also have Bicycle Legs, Brooke Moffat, Bitewise Marissa, Cecilia Antonio, Corey Vanderpool, GRX, Hellbound Hillbilly, Jay, Karen Sheets, Lady Kiva Lagos is my spirit guide. Hey, I got your question on Patreon. I'm sorry I haven't got back to you yet. I am actually trying right now to find a couple of good sakes to share with you. I know the holidays are coming up. If you guys have a preferred sake that you like to drink that's not Gekkaikan or Shochikubai, let me know. Mary Dunlap, Michael Smuda, Mike Yoakum, Angus Draco Fergus. Ray, Rude Ass Yankee, Rosabelle Howden, Terry Tryon, the Tinfoil Hat Society, the Custodial Humanist. A Noble Spirit and Biggins the Smallest Man, a Perfectly Cromulent Statement. Anwin Davies, Bob K, Fireshard, Jartan Rayan, Michael Lundgren. Oh, so this is how you change your name. Peter Magnuson, Philip Anderson, Stephen Andrus, Any Mouse and Friends, Big Sky 1889, Grand Priapism, Joseph, Peter Hockley, Philip Jessup, Just a Southern Atheist Gentleman, and Pedro Escobar. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the show. I love you for it. Anyway, folks, I got to get to getting this episode out to everybody, so have a great week, and we'll catch you next week with another one of these. We'll see you.